This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The announcement will come later today, we hope. Fingers crossed, until they put pen to paper, it won't be sure. But baseball is coming back, and it should start on my birthday, July 1st. We got Jared Sandler on with us. Mike calls him the Sandman. I call him Jer Bear. Jared, how's it going today, man? And we got him on Zoom on 105.3thefan.com/fancam.
Fellas, it's great to see you. I'm very excited tomorrow to understand why this is not the Hagland wedding. I don't know. I heard you guys tease it yesterday in Cross with Sean and RJ. So I don't know if you've actually paid that off yet, but I heard that we're going to get the big announcement Wednesday.
Tomorrow, yep.
Yeah, so I will give you a little tease, all right?
Okay.
Her last name, and I believe she was adopted, was Jackson. She changed her name to Drummond. And so we will get more into that later if you have any idea of old school TV shows of what tomorrow's big announcement will be. So it'll be a lot of fun, Jared.
Was that a different Strokes reference?
There you go, my friend. All right, so let's talk a little bit about some baseball right now, though, Jared. I wanted to kind of, like, the excitement level and the anticipation for this afternoon is pretty high. What are you feeling from the Rangers and what their connection to this whole process has been like?
Well, you know, this whole process has been, like, a roller coaster that you get off of and you're like, I never want to get back on it again. So not like one of the enjoyable roller coasters. And, you know, as far as the Rangers are concerned, you know, in talking to the guys, the Rangers don't have a ton of big money guys. Now, they've got Chu and they've got Elvis, but they have, and I guess you could say that now Mike Minor and Lance Lynn sort of fall into that category with Kluber, but, like, it's not like they're the Yankees or, you know, heck, even the Dodgers certainly. A lot of the guys that make up the core of their lineup, like the Willie Calhouns and the Joey Gallos of the world, and heck, even if you want to include Danny Santana, they fall into the pre-free agency category, and in some cases, pre-arbitration. So, you know, a lot of those guys, I think, are the ones, and maybe Mike would disagree, those are the guys who I think just kind of want to play. And, you know, they need every last game because they haven't made retirement life-changing money just yet. And so the guys I've spoken to, I think they're galvanized. They understand the power of a union, and they're trying to move, you know, step by step with everyone. But I think quietly, you know, they would never say it publicly. They just kind of were ready to play. And so I think there's some excitement there. And then the other Rangers perspective, because it's 60 games, even though there's not a expanded playoff field, 60 games can only hurt the favorites, can only hurt the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Astros of the world. It can only help teams like the Rangers and also in the division, the Angels, teams that maybe have a shot but aren't favorites but very well could make the playoffs after 60 games. Last year, perspective, the Rangers had the fifth-best record in the American League after 60 games. Fifth-best record in the American League this year after 60 games might get them in the playoffs, depending on the distribution of teams. So it could make it exciting, and I definitely think not having a marathon but having more of a sprint could be really compelling with the heightened importance of each game here once the season starts.
You know, Jared, I was reading about the different ways that managers are going to have to use their pitching staff. So the Rangers, for the first time in a long time, put together five veteran pitchers that you could pretty much count on, except now in a 60-game season with limited kind of spring training. You know, I just saw this for, you know, kind of nationally writers saying, hey, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how teams use – a rotation, if they use a rotation, how many guys are kind of pitching 3 to 4 innings with another guy pitching 2 to 4 innings behind them. So what do you think the Rangers are going to do with the advantage of having 5 veteran starting pitchers? How much are they going to push them, not really caring about the future of those guys?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, I've tried to consider, will their rotation this year help or hurt, or is it as much of an advantage as it would be over a 162-game season? You know, you're right, though. All 5 guys are in that trade territory, right? Maybe Kyle Gibson the least among them because he's on a 3-year deal and maybe would have the least value because of age and stuff. But, yeah, you know, there's a really good chance. Someone asked me, like, who's going to be a part of the rotation in 2022, you know, on the current team? And the only one I really think would be is Kyle Gibson, and that's simply because he's under contract. Mike Minor, free agent at the end of this year. Lance Lynn at the end of next year. And, you know, could very well have gotten traded if this was a 162-game season. Not really sure what to expect out of Jordan Lyles and Corey Kluber. You got the option. So, yeah, to your point, the Rangers don't really have to worry about longevity the way they might with Colby Allard or Joe Palumbo, where, you know, you kind of want to at least prepare to have them 3-4 years down the road. Now, that could definitely be an advantage. Another advantage is, while I don't think it is necessary to get off to a white-hot start and go 9-1, you know, over your first 10 games, you can't go 1-9. And in theory, really good pitchers prevent slumps. But, you know, in the past, like we, you know, 2 years ago, I think it was in 2017, it was like, well, if Cole Hamels isn't pitching, I don't know if there's a game that we're going to be favored in just from a pitching matchup standpoint. It's going to be the opposite this year. I think 4 out of 5 games, I'd be confident the Rangers, if they wouldn't be favored, would at least have a really competitive pitcher to start. And I think that would prevent them from getting off to a bad start. And I think the first 10, 15 games out of the gate will be incredibly important in determining who's going to be a part of that pack chasing a playoff spot and who's going to be left behind right off the bat.
We got Jared Sandler here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, and his hair's all slicked back, not all over the place like it's been on some of the videos that I've seen him do lately. Jared, is there anything anything that you think that they missed out on, the players and the league, and trying to put this together? I mean, it seems like there's a lot, and it seems like the fans didn't really matter in this whole thing, but is there anything that they could have done that would have made it even better, or some opportunities to try some things out?
Yeah, I really wanted to see an expanded playoff field. And, you know, Mike and I, a few years ago, Mike brought up on one of our Frisco games having a split season, just like the minor leagues, and maybe that could enhance fan engagement because now, you know, at the midpoint of the year, you get that second wave of hope for every franchise. And I still am really intrigued by that. I have not settled on whether or not I'd like that yet, but I'm definitely intrigued by it. What I do think is a more realistic possibility is to expand the playoff field from 5 to 6, or heck, you know, if you expand the league from 30 to 32 teams, maybe you see 8 teams per league. And the reason why I think that would be beneficial is, one, I don't know that in any sport we've ever been upset by watching more playoff games, right? Like, it's not like we're at a point in the NBA where, you know, 26 teams or 24 teams make the playoffs. Maybe that would be watered down. I don't know. But, you know, even in the NBA and the NHL where more than half the league make the playoffs, we still enjoy it. No one gets upset. I mean, Stars fans, last year, we didn't hate the first round matchup. We were super pumped. We were excited about it. And so while I know there is some people feel protective about making the playoffs exclusive, I don't know that there's an example. It's like, wow, in general, we all hate this round of the playoffs. So I think it would help the game. The owners would like it, and this is important because any sort of rule or adaptation you want to recommend, you've got to ask whether or not it helps the bottom line. Well, playoff games lead to more revenue, you know, TV deals go up, stuff like that. So that helps the owners. And then I think it also makes a difference for fan bases. You know, think about what this second wild card has done. It last year for the Rangers, it made them a contender for longer. And there are going to be fans who are going to watch most games or a lot of games regardless of whether the team's great or not. But the reality is you are going to lose fans the minute you are not a contender. You know, for instance, the Orioles this year, they probably are not going to have as many fans if this was a 162-game season one day after opening day as they would in a normal year in which they were competing for something, because everyone knows they're going to be horrible. Same with the Tigers. But adding a sixth playoff team, let's just start there. Adding a sixth playoff team now would probably include 2 to 3 more teams per league, so 4 to 6 in total, who would be competitive, say, through mid-August or even into September. And so that's 2 to 3 more fan bases and markets and cities per league that have more of a reason to hang on to baseball longer. And the reason this is important is because it's a 162-game season. And when you look at the calendar on June 1st and your team doesn't have a chance at a playoff spot, you still have 4 months of regular season baseball to go. That is the length of an NFL regular season. And it's tough to ask people to commit to that or to give a you-know-what about it when you still got 4 months of watching a team that you know isn't playing for anything competitive. And so expanding the playoff field for how long the baseball season is, I think, would only help fan engagement and keep people hooked on a little bit longer.
That's what I'm hoping out of this, Jared. I'm hoping that this 60-game season, which is, you know, you can't take a lot about, you know, somebody's batting average or something like that out of 60 games, but what if we just love the drama of the last 10 games of the season, because there's going to be tough to get major separation. So it's I just can't imagine with 10 games to go that you just feel confident like, we got it locked up. Maybe it will happen in your division, but what if that this is so exciting that it convinces the owners and the players when they negotiate in 2021 to say, hey, let's drop 10 games or 12 games off the regular season and have 275 split seasons, because, boy, that created a lot of excitement. We still get the 150 games, and we need that to, you know, have the money to have 150 regular season games. But that's what I'm hoping out of this, Jared, is that we have such fun last 10 to 5 games of a season that we say, why can't we just do this 2 times in one season?
So let me ask you this. I would love that. And I don't think anyone would really be too disappointed if you shortened the season by a little bit. The only question I have is, especially after witnessing the negotiations between the two sides, do you think the owners would be willing to give up the 5 or however many home games they would be losing by shortening the season? Because it didn't seem like, you know, through these negotiations, they were willing to spend or lose a penny more than needed.
I know.
And that's my concern.
And if that is the concern, then maybe we just go to 280-game seasons. If we split it up, if it has to be a split up of 80 games, and you know, obviously that would be 2 less games. But and maybe it just needs to be 81 and 81 to make it, you know, so you don't lose a dime off of one game. But I just think that I'm excited to see how a 60-game season is. I know that it can look bad for some players personally, Jared, because what if somebody who I love, Ronald Acuna Jr., who looks like to me could be the next Mike Trout of the game of baseball, what if he gets off to a slow start and 30 games into the season he's batting .200? And then at the end of the year, he bats .240. Well, does that mean that we don't think he's going to be a great player? That's going to be the tough thing, Jared. We've talked about, you know, just me and you having, you know, friend conversations on what to take out of this season for individual players.
Yeah, and I think from an evaluation standpoint, yeah, you know, whether it's, you know, a great year for a guy we know who's great, like Acuna Jr., or from the Rangers standpoint, last year, our big question on Joey Gallo wasn't what he was capable of from a ceiling standpoint, but could he sustain it over a full season? Like, what would have 150 games played looked like for Joey Gallo? And we're not going to get those answers. And maybe the Rangers can wait on that. But listen, the big name that everyone, you know, is so polarizing, Rougned Odor. Every year, Rougned Odor puts together 50 to 60 games in which he could be the best second baseman in baseball. So this isn't going to help you figure out who Rougned Odor really is. And you're going to have a lot of cases like that from team to team who you are about to or need to make a decision on paying a guy or not paying him or keeping him or not keeping him. And 60 games is going to be really tough to make evaluations based off of when you're trying to get a larger sample size.
Well, Jared, we ran out of time, but I think the biggest question everybody still has is, will this shortened season help or hinder Cole Hamels' ability to be an ace in 3 years? That's still to be unknown, so we'll have to wait for 3 more years. Jared, thanks for joining us on the show today, man.
See you guys.
Look forward to talking to Jared Sandler a lot more as baseball gets back in action, ladies and gentlemen.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.